This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Jazzcast Pros.
Jazz and I were talking, big shout out to Jazzy T and Jazzcast Pros Network and all of the incredible hosts on the network. We were talking about episodes and what they should look like, especially in this season of movement and mental health. And I'm literally moving. And so it made sense to include this type of movement in this season because I want us to have a holistic, overarching, big umbrella, wide lens outlook and perspective on movement. So often when we talk about movement and mental health, we're talking about exercise. And exercise is not the only way. We are going to talk a lot about exercise this season, but really it's about movement and how movement works and helps the body and mind to be healthier. This movement is physical movement of one home to another home and why that's necessary. Welcome to the Healthy Illness Podcast. I am your host, Kelly Marie, and this podcast is all about learning how to build healthier relationships while living with mental health conditions. Like, subscribe, and share. Do all of the social media things. Please leave a comment on wherever you happen to be listening to this podcast. I know that the folks on Pandora are out there listening. Thank you so much. I am always thankful to hear from you. So this podcast episode is all about moving, moving from one home to another. There are boxes behind me. I am in the process of physically moving. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the three phases of movement and moving that I've personally gone through and how I've used the tools in each of those phases in order to stay as mentally healthy as possible during the chaos of moving to a new home. So by the end of this episode, you will hear about my three movement journeys, my moving out on my own at the beginning stages of my healing process in 2013, moving into my current home, and now leaving my current home, moving into a new space in just a few short days. Why is that important and what have I learned? I'm going to tell you up front. There's a couple things. Like when adversity strikes in each of those three moves, have not been a proactive search. It's been in response to an outside force. And so when adversity it strikes in that way for me, I know that in order for me to be able to focus on all the other things, my foundation, my home, my home base has to be secure. And so when it's not, that's when all the other things, all the other signs and symptoms begin to either become apparent or become worse. And so I've learned that over the course of this journey, that home and having a stable home is really key to my mental health. That's not anything new. If we talk about society and the housing market and stability and people, so many people losing their homes, whether they rent or own, or cannot find a home and are experiencing homelessness. This is not a new conversation. For me, it's different because it's me. Like, I'm not talking about society, I'm talking about my personal experience and what needing a home means to me personally. I am sharing this because I think it's important for me to always share the parts of my life that are happening to kind of keep in mind when you're listening. You know, I'm not philosophizing here. I don't even know if that's a word, but we're going to make it a word today. I'm not, speaking from, just textbook knowledge or studying or learning through others' experiences. These are my real life experiences. So back in 2013, after I was released from psychiatric hospital and had to really rebuild my life, the initial phase was learning to redefine my relationship with my partner and what that looked like in our home with children, explaining to them what happened, what mental health is, why I was in the place that I was in, and what our relationship would look like moving forward. You know, he and I are no longer together, and it was a reasonably amicable process. It wasn't, you know, tumultuous in any way, shape, or form, but it still was a change, and a very big change. And so in moving from the like home that I built with a person with children into, I moved actually into my family home, which has suffered from years of neglect. So it wasn't like I was really moving home into this warm environment. Like there were walls missing and like the downstairs, the duplex upstairs, downstairs, the downstairs apartment where my grandmother had lived, hadn't been updated since she bought the home. Like the house was old in its framework, but also old inside, right? And so what that looked like for me moving into a place that was not aesthetically pleasing, but was emotionally secure for me. And I think that is really an important aspect of healing, is what is appealing to one, what is healing to one may not be healing to another. And so even though I was the only family member living in the home for a while, it was okay because it was still home. It was still a safe space. It was not ideal by way of amenities, but I didn't need much. I needed a place to call home. And so moving home was really healing for me and gave me the opportunity to focus on myself for the first time. I was able to use my hands and paint and hang drywall. It was very therapeutic for me to be in that space. I'm thankful that so much work needed to be done on the home because it kept me busy. It kept me focused. It allowed me to think through what healing was. It allowed me to think through what I needed in life. And so I, at the same time, did not begin to plan for my long-term success, so to speak, by way of living in that home. I knew when I moved in that the family was going to be putting the home up on the market, and I did not prepare. So at the time that the home was about to go on the market, I knew I needed to leave because whoever was buying the home was going to need to put some money into it to get it up to code, to make it rentable or livable for them, because no one was going to live in it the way that I was living in it. It served its purpose for me. And so I landed from there. I landed here in this space. And there's an episode about that, episode something. I would say it's probably in the 50s, maybe, about moving into this space and what that meant. This is the first time that I had to search for an apartment on my own as an adult and not have to consider children. When I was younger, I had young kids and like I needed space for kids and that kind of stuff. But I needed enough space for me and the oldest kid who's in college to be able to feel comfortable. And so there are so many aspects about this home that initially I was like, oh, it's a place to live. It really is a nice home. It was not too much for me to take care of. Everything's mostly new. And so I could just kind of move in and be myself. One of the biggest pieces of moving here that I missed was gardening and not really having an opportunity to get my hands in the dirt and take care of that part of my mental health. I had also started a new job shortly after I moved here. And that really is the reason why I did not have the time to dive into gardening. I could not do it here. So I would have needed to connect with a community garden or something like that. So I didn't, in hindsight, really take advantage of the space and the yard and like have you know, bonfires and that kind of, I mean, I could have done a lot with the space, but I didn't. And that's okay. I just see all of the things that I did not take advantage of, but wasn't really in the mindset to take advantage of. It's beneficial in many ways to be able to now have a landlord that I could call when something is wrong versus me being the person that was responsible for doing the repairs or making sure that, you know, a repair person came out to fix whatever the issue was. And so that was really relieving. It was like a huge piece of concern off of my plate. I just pick up the phone. Like, this is what renters do. They just pick up the phone and call somebody, and somebody else takes care of it. In this home, I knew moving in, I probably never wanted to own a home again. But living here and not really having any issues, I only made one or two calls to the landlords over the couple years I've been here. And I like it. I like calling somebody and saying something is wrong. Figure it out. Y'all can come in when you need to. I won't be here, right? There is a level of relief that I have living in a space that I don't own. And so they're selling the home. And so I'm finding myself in a similar position. This time, though, a little bit different in that I know I don't have any desire to own a home. And that is the risk of renting, is that you may have new landlords or you may need to move. And so I did not have to move now. My landlords are incredible people. They let me know what was happening because they wanted to give me a heads up, right? A lot of folks don't have that opportunity. And so I knew for me, while they were just giving me a heads up, which I really appreciate, I know that I'm not a wait and see person when it comes to my home space. So just like I moved from the family home into this home, I could have waited. Like, they did not sell that home for almost a year. I could have stayed there paying less rent, just stacking up money, paying off my credit cards, like whatever. I could have waited. But my anxiety could not let me wait. I knew that it would not be helpful for me to be placed in an emergent situation when I could be proactive. If a new set of owners came along and they're like, all right, you got to get out. Now, I told you, like, the house needed renovations and work. Renovations, that's the word. I knew I would need to move in order for that to happen. And so because I knew I would need to move, I just moved at a time that was most convenient and conducive to me instead of being on someone else's schedule. The same is true in this situation. The difference being, I think I probably needed to move from here eventually because of my back and my legs. They're fine, but the constant up and down of, you know, going up and down the stairs where the bedrooms are is not ideal in that me planning for the long term, I really need to be like in one apartment, one story place. Yeah, I was looking at some places that were like townhouses, which would have been more steps. So I say that, but I would have easily moved into another home with stairs. So don't let me pretend to play myself right now or you. I ended up in a place that is a one story apartment duplex situation. And so it's beneficial. Like, that's one of the pluses, is that I don't have stairs. But my second choice was a townhouse that had two sets of stairs that are more than the stairs here. So let me keep it real. Moving into this new space, I knew that I needed to, again, be proactive to reclaim clarity. I was gonna wait and just see what happens, but I live in Buffalo and our winters are winter. I was not trying to have to move in the winter when I could move and be proactive in the spring or summer. Mind you, who knows when the house is going to sell? Who knows if the new owners are going to want to live here or use it for rental property? Who knows if they're going to increase the rent some ridiculous amount that's out of my budget. Like, who, I don't know. Nobody knows. Because of that, I know I need to move. At the same time, I'm a renter. I'm moving into a home that I may inevitably be in the same position again, where I may have to move because the owners want to sell or whatever. You know, they go up on the rent so much that, you know, it's out of my budget. I don't know. I'm aware of all of those concerns. However, maybe yes and. In order for me to have clarity in my day-to-day life, my home life needs to be secure. And not knowing when or if I would need to move left me in a place of insecurity. And while I did not feel stressed, and I still don't feel stressed, like I don't feel the mental weight of the process. I feel very clear-headed. I feel very clear-headed. But when it comes to actions and having conversations, I can tell when I'm speaking to people, I'm forgetful, I'm dropping words, I'm not remembering things I've said. And those are signs to me that I'm stressed out. My stomach has been acting up. I was in a meeting at work and I get these like intense, like twisting pains in my stomach when I'm stressed. And so it was so severe that the person I was meeting with was like, do I need to like call 911? Are you okay? I know that it's going to pass. I just needed to breathe through it and go home. But I knew that I was okay. And so thankfully the person I was with understood that and I was able to articulate that to them. My body told me that it was stressed. So even though I didn't feel like I was stressed, my body told me it was stressed. My eyes started to twitch a couple times. And yes, I talked to it, put my hand over my eye, told it thank you for helping me, letting me know that my body was stressed out. And so before the cycle started cycling, before I started tumbling down the hill, I knew I had to stop and be proactive right then. Like I had to focus, implement the tools, do what I need to do so that I can adjust physically and mentally in the space that I'm in. So what did I do? There are a couple things that I started to purposely implement so that I could process the stress of moving and the impact of work and all the other things outside of this space of moving. And so that is what we have to do sometimes. In this process of literally moving from one home to another, there are a lot of stressors that pop up that I needed to address. So not just finding a place, like I had to, like, where do you find some place to live? I don't know. You know, a couple folks gave me some pointers and like go to Craigslist. I did that and I didn't find anything. That was difficult. I didn't like Craigslist, but the next person may. I need very clear options. And I felt as though Craigslist didn't provide that to me. I used a couple of the apps. I used Zillow. And I felt weird using Facebook to find a place. I don't know. I don't like it. So I didn't want to use social media in my quest. That might have made things easier, though, because everyone knows everything on social media. And they just, you know, make a recommendation on my friends moving here or whatever. Like, that is possible, but I didn't feel comfortable using that space. And so I actually found my apartment on Zillow after finding other places. Like I found an apartment that was okay. It wasn't like, ooh, this is the greatest place on earth, but considering our market, considering my budget, I had only a couple options. And not only that, in considering my needs, like I knew there were three things I needed to have because I could not take on that responsibility in my day-to-day life. So I knew I had a checklist of things that my apartment or new home needed to have. And so that is what I looked for. Found a place and paid my deposit. And in the conversation of like my move-in date. Like, this is it. Like, I found the place, right? They're like, oh, you're moving on, you know, this date, right? And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. I was very clear. I'm moving, you know, a little bit further out on this date. I'm like, oh, we can't hold a deposit for that long. Can you move in earlier? No, I'm moving in on the date that I gave you. So ended up having to take my deposit back, which put me back in the market of finding a home. Very stressful. A lot of places didn't have enough space. And while I don't need a lot of space, it was still not enough for what I needed to do. I knew I needed enough space to be able to set up shop. Some folks can, when it's time to record their podcasts or their videos or whatever, they can like set up something, you know, everything stored. They take it out, set it up, record, put everything. Like, if I had to do that, I would not have a podcast. I would not have a computer in my home. Like, if I had to set everything up every time, it wouldn't happen. I need to be able to sit down, click a button, and go. So I knew I needed enough space to do that. Now I have like a little square in my living space, and so I don't need much space, but for the price that people are charging, the amount of space is so small, it's ridiculous. Those of you out there that have been looking, are looking, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so I've finally, thankfully, found a place that fits all of the couple things that were on my list. It has enough space. I do need to adjust some life things, you know, by way of like clothes storage and things like that. Not a big deal. That is not a big deal. Whereas for someone else, they need the closet space to be able to do the things that they need to do. I would love to have more closet space, but all the other wins and pluses of the place that I'm moving to are there. So I'll adjust. That is what we do. We adjust. But how we adjust is going to be different depending upon the person. So I found a place. That's all good. But at the same time, my stomach is still stomaching. My eye is still eyeing. And I know that I need to implement some more of the tools. So the other thing I did, I took a step back, went back to basics. I did a countdown of my move. I have been experiencing some issues with my leg and my back, having nothing to do with the surgery space, but had some other back issues in another part of my spine. And I think that's what's kicking in now. And so I have health issues that I need to address. That's a stressor. That is a piece of this, you know, whole process of healing, physically healing. Helps my mental healing, right? But that's something on my plate that I have to deal with. I've got my 9-to-5 job. That's fairly stressful. That's something I'm dealing with. And there are some additional short-term stressors that are happening there. The move is a huge thing. And then I'm starting a health fellow leader program here in the area. That's going to take time out of my schedule. It's already built in and it starts soon. But it's built in a little bit later down the line. That's okay. I'm prepared for that and have built that, like I said, into my schedule. But then this opportunity came up to take a doula training. And I was like, I am all in. I need this in my life. Ever since I was in the labor and delivery room with my sister-in-law, big shout out to Wilma and Malcolm. And my niece, my first niece, Olivia, ever since she was born, when we were in that process, one of the nurses asked if I was a doula. She's like, oh my gosh, you're so good at this. Are you a doula? You know, oh, you're not. I mean, you should really consider being a doula. So I thought about it. And this is like more than 10 years ago. Thought about it. And I just didn't think that I would. I heard her. I enjoyed the experience with my sister-in-law. Moving, like, that's a whole human being that is entering the world. Just incredible experience. And so I did not breastfeed my children, and I had an epidural for all three of my deliveries. All three of my kids were overdue. Like, it's some weird shit. I hear that's next to impossible. Well, guess who lives in the land of next to impossible? Me. So anyways, I didn't think that my life experience qualified me to be a doula. And I was speaking to someone who has gone through the training and is finishing up their certification process. And they're like, Kelly, yeah, you can be. And so I looked into it, was going to start the training. Actually, this weekend was going to take the training. And it went through the application process. The interview was accepted into the program. And I somehow missed, like, the first meeting was, I thought, virtual, but it was in person, the orientation. And so I missed it because I'm looking for the link as I'm driving home because I was back to back overbooked. Like, let me hurry up and log in while I'm going home to log into the computer. And I see that it's in person. There's no way I can get there in time. So I let them know, you know, I'm not able to do it. They reached out and said, we can still orient you if you can do the next 3 days, you know, of the training. And so I needed to take a minute and have a heart to heart with myself. Like, yes, this is something I want to do. I've said yes to it. To me, I've said yes to me. I've said yes to the program people. I have done all of the work, right, to be in the training to become a doula. I knew that with what I had on my plate, there was no healthy way for me to take this training and be able to do all the other things. It would not have been the healthiest decision for me. Would I have made it through? Probably. I don't know. Probably. At the same time, though, would I have caused some other mental health issues to pop up? Probably. And I know that I don't need to do that. And so because I've made a commitment to myself to remain healthy, right, to live a healthy lifestyle with these illnesses, I knew that I needed to pull out of the training. And so I did that. I said yes, right? I reassessed and said no. And so I'm sharing that with you because so many times we make commitments and we say, oh, this is so taxing. This thing is hurting me in whatever way it is. I'm going to see it out. I'm just not going to do anything else. You can say no after you have said yes. They will figure it the fuck out, period. So if you needed permission, there you go. You can say no after you've said yes. You do not have to stay stuck in a thing. It is not about integrity. It is about your whose integrity, right? And to who are you being judged? I'm not telling you to go around and start telling everybody no after you said yes. What I'm saying is when you are in a position where you need to figure out your next steps, where you need to determine what comes off of the plate, in order to pull things off of the plate, you have to say no. Oftentimes, if it's already on the plate, you've said yes to it. You can't always wait until it's over and wait for space to be made or not accept anything else. You can say no after you've said yes. Connect someone, if this is work you're doing, connect them to someone else that can do the work, or find out, in my case, like, is there another program coming up? Is there another training class? I think the training I was in was the last training for this program, and that's okay. I'm willing to not become a doula in order for me to be mentally healthy. Like, how can I go through this training to help bring life into the world if I'm not taking care of the life that God gave me, right? Like, I need to make sure that I'm okay in order to be able to give and do for others. And so you need to make sure that you're okay in order to give and do for others. Remember the self-care mask, you know, selflessness, selfishness, and self-care. Being on, putting a mask on yourself first before you help others is self-care. Like, that is the bare minimum. You need to put the mask on yourself first. If you don't, you're of no service to anyone. People think that's self-care. That's not. That's, you know, ain't nobody doing that no more, y'all. Ain't nobody doing that no more. I still would like to be a doula. I know that I don't have the bandwidth right now. I do have the bandwidth to overextend myself and to not be good to anybody, including myself. So I have options. I could put myself in that position if I wanted, but that's not the promise I made to myself. And that's not placing myself or keeping myself in a healthy state. That is purposely allowing me to be extra stressed on top of the life stuff, right? Like I'm moving, they're selling the house, I need to move. I made that decision, right? I need to be able to pay my rent and my car note and buy food. So I need to go to work. That is another decision. And I know that I need time for myself to use the other tools, including movement, my walking and being and doing my self-care meditation and that kind of stuff, my mindfulness work. And so there just isn't room right now in this bandwidth. If I wanted to expand it, I could, but there's not room in the space that I have allotted for me to take on this extra thing. And that's okay. Just like the podcast, we're going a week without a podcast because last week was so much. I don't have another word for it. It was so much. I had an interview scheduled. We didn't do it. I called and, well, we were texting. And they were okay with rescheduling to another day because I didn't have what it took to be a host in that moment. And that's okay. Like, we have to stop thinking that we don't control us. We do. And if the person that I was going to interview said, you know what, this is the only time I can do it. I really would like to do this, Kelly. Can we, I only have this Tuesday at 7 available to you, either take it or not. I'd have to decide what to do. Do I have a dry interview or do I say, you know what, maybe we can do something a little further down the line? I don't know. That wasn't the case. They said they had no problem rescheduling. So it's all good. Big shout out to Mary Beth Scott, who is coming on the podcast as soon as I can reschedule her. It's okay. It's okay. The world doesn't stop turning because I didn't sit here amongst my boxes and clothes bags and record an episode. Hopefully you're okay and you got everything you needed in the meantime. I don't think you are waiting, like holding your breath for my podcast to come out. Maybe you are. I don't know. I still make sure and I still have promised to myself that I would do what I needed to do for me in order to be able to do for you. So with that, that is my moving home journey. I will keep you posted and updated because that's life. And it continues to move whether we want it to or not. And continues to move, whether we try and force it to stay or not. Like, it's going to continue to move. So we have to adjust. We've got to learn to move around it, move with it, or move in a different direction altogether. Those are our choices and options. And we have that ability to make that choice. So until the next time, I encourage you to be the light. I do have some incredible folks coming on the podcast. I'm really excited. This is a great season. And it's okay to struggle. It's okay to have setbacks. It's okay. Continue to show up in the way that you know how. Continue to do the work. Continue to use the tools. Work what works. Remove what doesn't. And be the light. So if you need someone to talk to, right? If you are in a place of distress or in a place where you're just not feeling well, if you're in an emergent situation, if you're in crisis, if you have to have someone to talk to right now, I mean, therapy won't wait, or whatever case you may find yourself in, please dial 988 on your phone or 741-741. You can text 741-741. And there are people there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to talk to you. If you care about someone who's in a space like that, you can dial on their behalf, 988. Or 741-741 via text. If you are looking for resources, though, you can dial 211 on your phone. That is a helpline, and they have people there that can, if you tell them what you're looking for, they can give you resources in your area. You can also go to 211 in your browser, and the webpage will pop up. And I would love to hear from you. What's working for you? What's moving you? How are you using movement to manage your mental health? Hit me up, either in the comments, on IG or Facebook at The Front Seat Life. You can email me at KellyMarie@frontseatlife.com. Yep, new email address, KellyMarie@frontseatlife.com. And I cannot wait to be with you again soon. Be the light.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership.
We created Bossy to be a safe place to ask the hard questions and to get support that's necessary.
With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must-be-nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
Business ownership leads to unexpected knowledge. What are you an expert at?
Tell us at Getting Real with Bossy and subscribe today.